Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Beis, a bit Mayid. We were in the middle of the sugya, really, of Nat Bar Nat, which only really goes about three lines into today's daf. But let's start again, because that's really the meat of today's daf, really, is Nat Bar Nat. And we didn't really get to discuss it much yesterday. So let's pick up again from the two dots, the first wide line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. We'll start again from the beginning of the sugya. So Itmar, Dagim Sha'alu B'Ka'ara, if you have fish that were served on a plate, hot, Rava, a plate that was a fleshiga plate, Rava mar asr la achlan b'kutach, that you're not allowed to eat that fish with milchik food, Shmuel amar mutter la achlan b'kutach, that Shmuel says it's mutter to eat that fish, which is parav, obviously, with a milchik food, with a milchik dip. So Rav Amar Aser no sein tam hu. Rav says the reason that it's Aser is because it's no sein tam, that you have the tam of the flesh went into the dish, then that tam of flesh that was in the dish went into the fish, and now the fish is being mixed with milk, so that's going to be an Isur Basa B'chalav. Shmuel Amar Mutter, Shmuel says no, it's Mutter because no sein tam bar no sein tam hu. It's only a secondary Nesinas tam. If meat were to give tam into the fish, that would be one thing. But over here, the meat gave tam into the plate, which then gave tam into the fish, which is a secondary nosin tam and is not strong enough to affect the nisr of basar b'chalav. So says the Gemara, by the way, when Rav says that it's problematic because it's nosin tam and he's not gores, the heter of not barnat, he never actually said that explicitly. V'hada Rav, lav b'feirish itmar, el michlala itmar. Rav never said it explicitly. We derived that this was Shitas Rav based on a Maisa Shahaya. The Rav Ikla Lebe Rav Simi Barchia Barbarei. Rav went to Rav Simi Barchia, his grandson's house, Chash Be'enav, and he had some sort of eye ailment. Avdulei Shaifa Bitza, they made some sort of ointment to cure his eye problem. Basar hachi ramale b'shula begava, and then they cooked some food in the same pot that they made the eye ointment in, and time lay time at the shayfa, and he still tasted in the food a little bit of the taste of the medicine. So Amar Yav Taima Kulei, he says, look at that, tam can transfer to such an extent. The tam went from the medicine to the pot, then from the pot into the food that I'm eating, and it's still very strong, I still taste it. So you see that Rav holds, not barnat, is not any sort of heter, that it's still going to be considered a substantial tam, says Gemara Valohi, but it's really not a good raya because Shiny Hassam did nafish mrarat fei. That in that situation was a much more bitter type of item, that this ointment was very bitter, and that's why it was able to be no saint tam. So that's no raya that Rav rejects the heter of nat bar nat. Now Tosfos points out Valohi Shiny Hassam did nafish mrare kolomar mikan in lahochiach. When we say Veloi, we're just saying that from this Maisa, you can't prove Rav's Shita about Nat Bar Nat. But we're going to see that Rav, in fact, does disagree with Shmuel and holds that Nat Bar Nat is still going to be problematic. So it's irrelevant. Tosfos is just minimizing the relevance of the fact that of this Mechlala Itmar and rejecting this Mechlala Itmar, because at the end of the day, Rav is going to hold that Nat Bar Nat is Aser, Shmuel holds Nat Bar Nat is Mutter. Now, what is the Yisod HaHeter of Nat Bar Nat? What is it based on? Why would there be a special heter of secondary Nesinas Tam? There are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that the secondary Tam, the Tam HaSheni, meaning the Tam of Basa that's in the fish, the Basa that went into the plate and now into the fish, is a tam kolush, is considered to be a very weak tam, doesn't have a status of tam gamur, and therefore it's no longer called basar. So that tam, even if it might be slightly detectable, is so weak, it no longer has a status of basar, and that's why it's mutter. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that the secondary tam is tam gamur. So the tam basar that's in the fish is absolutely tam. That absolutely has a status of tam basar. It's just that that doesn't have the ability at that point to be no same tam into something else. So the tam basar shabadagim, while it's in the fish, may be legitimate tam basar, but it's not able to be no same tam into the kutach, into the milchik food. And that's why it's going to be mutter, because it can't be no same tam into the milchik food. So who holds these various shitos? So the first approach is held by Tosfos Masech Zvachim and Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph, that the tam, the reason why we have a heter of nat bar nat, is because the tam sheni is a tam kalush. It's a weak tam. It's not able to be no same tam. And that's why Tosfos writes that if you have a carbon shlamim that's cooked in a kedera that you cooked yesterday's carbon shlamim in, the shlamim, today's carbon shlamim does not become aser that night, machmas nosar. Halacha's carbon shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and one night. So if today's carbon shlamim really should be mutter today, tonight, and tomorrow. Yesterday's carbon shlamim was mutter yesterday, last night, and today. But by tonight, it's already going to be nosar. So what if I use a pot that I cooked yesterday's carbon shlamim in to cook today's carbon shlamim? Should I have to worry that there's nesinas tam of yesterday's carbon shlamim, which is therefore going to make even today's carbon shlamim nosar by tonight? So Tosfos writes that no, it does not become aser tonight because of the tam of yesterday's carbon shlamim, because that's only not bar nat. The shlamim b'kedera, the kedera into the basar, that's only not bar nat. So you see that even though the nosar is actual iser, so long as it's nosin tam b'kedera, the tam that remains in the kedera is and gives tam into today's carbon shlamim, it doesn't give a strong enough tam. When it's in the secondary location, it's a tam kalish, it's no longer considered the iser. Meaning over here, this is a perfect case study, because over here it's not about whether it subsequently gives tam into something else. I'm going to eat this carbon shlamim right now, and it has this secondary tam in it. Is that okay? It has a secondary tam of iser in it. Is that mutter? Is that aser? So Tulsa says it's mutter. Why? Because the whole yesod of the heter of nat bar nat is by the time it gets into the second level, it's already a tam kolosh, it already no longer has the ability, it's no longer considered to be a strong enough tam to be aser. That is the sheet of Tosos. However, the Ramban holds that a tam sheni is tam gomur. It's only that it's unable to give tam any further. And that's why Ramban raises the question. He says, well, wait a second. How does that work in our case? I have fish that were put in a hot on a plate that had meat on it a couple of hours ago, let's say. So tam of meat went into the plate, the tam of the meat from the plate went into the fish. So I want a taina, it's still a tam gomur, it just no longer has the ability to give tam into the kutach. Frak the Ramban, yeah, it can't give tam into the kutach, but can't the kutach give tam into it? Meaning when I'm going to take that fish hot and mix it with kutach, so the kutach has milchik. The kutach is milchik. So isn't the milchik and the kutach going to go into the fish? And if you consider what's in the fish as tam gamur, so a tam of basar gamur, shouldn't that make basar b'chalav in the fish? How does this whole heter work? Asks the Ramban. So the Ramban says that a major yisod. He says, based on this kasha, he says, you have to say that the isser of basar b'chalav is only chal when it's a two-way street. When shneim nosnim tam zebozeh, the basar gives tam into the chalav gives tam into the basar. But any time one of them is not able to be nosin tam into the other, it can't become basar b'chalav, even though the other is able to be nosin tam into the one. So over here, the chalav is able to be nosin tam into the basar, but the basar is not able to be nosin tam into the chalav because it's already a secondary level of taste. That is the Ramban's raya. That is the Ramban's yisod. Based on the fact that he understands not by not to be a tam gamur, just unable to pass on the tam any further. The Ramban proves that it's a tam gamur, that you have to say not by not as a tam gamur, from the fact that we say that if you're mevashel chalav in a kedera shel basar, when you don't have shishim in the chalav against the kedera, the chalav becomes aser because of the basar that's balua b'kedera. So he says, why should that be the case? If the tam of basar is a tam sheni, why should it be a problem? It should be a tam kolish. Meaning what happens? I have a fleishiga pot, I cook milk in the fleishiga pot. Why do I need 60 times the milk kneged the volume of the pot? It should be mutter anyway, because as soon as I cook the what happened? The meat went into the pot. Now the meat goes from the pot into the milk, but that's already a tam kolish. It's already a weak tam. It's already a tam sheni. So shouldn't that be okay? So the Ramban says, Elamai, what do you see? That no, a tam sheni is not a tam kolish. It's only that once it's in the sheni, once it's in the secondary level, it can't go further. But in its current state, it's not a tam kalush, and that's why it would be a problem of basar b'chalav. That's a major kasha on Tosfos. How does Tosfos understand this idea that you're not allowed to cook milchig in a fleshik pot, that it's, the milchig is going to be treif if you cook it in a fleshik pot, unless it has 60 times the volume of milk keneged the flesh. So that's a major kasha that the Achronim work on to try to figure out how Tosfos is going to respond to that. Another important point about Nat Bar Nat, the Rishonim write that the whole heter of Nat Bar Nat is only what we call Nat Bar Nat de Hetera. But if you have Nat Bar Nat de Isura, then it wouldn't work. For instance, if you have, in our case, we have fish that was cooked in a pot, let's say in a pot of meat, but let's say you had fish that was cooked in a pot that had treif meat in it, that was that had tam of non-kosher in it, had tam of nevelo or treif or something like that, and then you cook that fish in a kedera shel heter, and then you cook with that kedera other fish, no matter how many times you keep going down the line, no matter how many transferences of tam there is, everything's going to be aser. It just keeps on going and on. The issue keeps going. So what happened? I cooked nevela meat in pot number one. Now there's tam of nevela meat in that pot. I subsequently cook fish in that pot. The tam of nevela goes from the pot into the fish. I subsequently cook that fish in another pot, in pot number two. So the tam of the nevela meat that had gone from the nevela to the pot to the fish now goes into the second pot. And then I cook another fish in that second pot. So it went from the nevela to the pot to the fish to the pot to the next fish. And it's still usher. Everything's going to be usher all the way down the line. That's what we call Nat Bar Nat Yisura. The question is why? If Nat Bar Nat means that the tam is weakened enough, either that in its secondary state it's too weak to be an Isser, or it's too weak to pass on the Isser, like the Rabban says, why is it that by Nat Bar Nat the Isura, we assume that it can keep on going indefinitely? So that is Machlokas Rishonim, why that should be the case. The smack, according to the Beis Yosef in Siman Sadi Dalid, writes that the reason is because even though by the Isser itself, by the Isser itself, it's not bar nat, since we paskin chaticha nasas nevela, so whenever you have tam of Isser in something, the entire entity becomes the chefza of nevela, becomes like the chefza shel Isser itself, so you never, it never really goes down a level, because chaticha nasas nevela, meaning when I cook the nevela in that first pot, so as soon as it gives tam into the pot, the whole pot is a shame treif. It's not just the tam of nevela in the pot. Once there is tam of nevela in the pot, chaticha nasas nevela. Anything that has tam of nevela in it becomes a chefs of treif. And then I cook fish in that pot, so it has a little bit of the tam from the pot in it. Now the entire fish becomes a chef. So it's always tam rishon. That's the way the smak understands it. You never get to tam sheni, because chaticha nasas nevela, if you assume chaticha nasas nevela applies to shari surim, chaticha nasas nevela will make it that it's always going to be tam rishon. That's the way the smak understands. Understands Nat Bar Nat Isura. However, I think the majority opinion is the sheet of the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, Bayis Gimel Shar Dalet. The standard opinion, I think, is the Rashba. The Rashba writes that the Yisod of Nat Bar Nat is that the Tam Sheni is a Tam Kolosh. And on a Tam Kolosh, when you have a weak Tam, an Isser can't be created within a weakened level of Tam. So therefore, if you can't have nitfas ha-isr on a tam kolosh, an isr cannot be created on a weakened tam. So that's only shayich when you're trying to create an isr. But when the isr is already there, so it's not going to be shayich. Meaning, when I have a tam of basar in my plate, and then I have the basar goes into fish, so there's no isr. There's no isser yet. It's just tam of basar. Meat is mutter to eat. You're just not allowed to have it with milk. So there's no isser. What do I want to do now? I want to mix that fish with kutach and create an isser. But at this point, the meat is too weakened to create a brand new isser. To make a new shame isser on something, you need a much stronger tam. But when the isser is already there, it's just a matter of, do I still have any remnants of the isser left? You don't need a strong tam to carry on a pre-existing isser. So if I had nevela that was cooked in the plate, it was pre-existing isser of nevela. Now it's cooked in the plate, then the plate has fish, and then and it keeps going down the line. And enochinami, it's a weak tam, but there's no limitations on a weak tam when you're dealing with something that's already Usser. So those are the two basic explanations of how to understand why Nat Barnati Isura is so problematic, whereas Nat Barnati Atera, we're willing to assume, at least according to Shmuel, by the second Nisinas Tam, you're not going to have any problems anymore. So most of our situations are, that we have in our kitchens are Nat Barnati Atera, because we generally don't have treif flying around our kitchens. We have it's a basa b'chalav shayla most of the time. Most of the time we have, you should realize also, the heter of Nat Barnat is a totally separate heter than the heter of Eina Ben Yomo, than the issue of Ben Yomo versus Eina Ben Yomo. The idea of a tam pagum is even if it's not naparnat, even if it's the first nesinas tam, once a tam is nosin tam lefgam, so that's going to, meaning the pot hasn't been used more than 24 hours and the tam inside of the pot is repugnant, so that's a totally separate heter. Most of the shilas we get, at least my unofficial study, is you're dealing with both heterim at the same time. You're dealing with naparnat and you're dealing with tam pagum. So you have both in the same in the same. So that's why most of the shilas that come up in the kitchen, most of the time it's b'di'evad mutter. Questions are when you get into lechatchila. So okay, lechatchila there's a lot less that's mutter because we don't rely on nat parnat. At least Ashkenazim don't rely on nat parnat lechatchila. We only rely on it b'di'evad. Now the Prima Gadim writes that the heter of nat parnat is only. He has an interesting chiddush. Prima Gadim writes that the heter of Nat Barnat is only when the first transference of tam was into a kli, and then the second nesinas tam was into a food. Exactly our Gemara. You had meat that gave tam into a plate. The plate gave tam into the fish. What if it was the other way around? What if the tam rishon was in food and the tam sheni was in a kli, and from there it went to the basa or the chalav? So then he says you wouldn't have such a heter because meaning, let's say you had meat that you cooked with a vegetable. So the tam of the meat went into the vegetable. You then put that vegetable on a plate. Or cooked it in a pot or whatever, you put it in a kli, and then you had milchig on that kli. So the Prima Gadim says that would be no good. Nat Barnat only works when the first transmission of tam is into a kli, because I guess on that first stage it weakens it to the point where now the second stage is going to be all the weaker. The Darkei Tshuva just points out that the Chavos Das, the Nesivos, in his comments on Yor Day, and Chavos Das clearly disagrees with this. He holds that no matter which way it goes, that Nat Barnat is going to be effective, whether it's kli to food or food to kli, doesn't make a difference. Chavos Das also is mechadish a different issue, that we don't say Nat Barnat Bishas Habishal. That we're not going to say Nat Barnat. Let's say Chalav fell onto a pot or into a pot, onto the outside of a pot where you're cooking fish right now. So you can say, well, the Chalav gives time into the pot. The pot then gives time into the fish. Nat Barnat Atera. Now that fish, if it's mixed with meat, is going to be okay. So no. If the Chalav was cooked in the pot, then you emptied all the chalav out of the pot and you cleaned out the pot, and then you cooked fish in the pot, that would be Nat Barnat Atera. But if while you're cooking the fish in the pot, the chalav was already on the outside of the pot at the same time, so says the Chavos Das, then we're not going to apply Nat Barnat. Bishas Bishal, we're not going to rely on Nat Barnat. That's the chiddush of the Chavos Das. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter now. Rabbi Lazar, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on Kufir Alpha and Beis still. Rabbi Lazar, have a claim to Kaveh de Mar Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar was standing in front of Mar Shmuel. So they brought fish that were cooked in a fleshik pot, and they were serving it together with kutach, with the milchik dish. So Yav Lev Lo Achal. So he gave it to Reb Lazar, and Reb Lazar refused to eat it. So Amar Leis, so Shmuel said to Reb Lazar, L'Rabchi Yehivi Lev Achal V'Atal Achalta. You know, I gave it to your Rebbe, to Rav, and he ate it. You know, Rav, who says that we don't rely on Nat Barnat, I'll tell you a secret. He does rely on Nat Barnat. He ate it. And now you're not going to eat it? Asal Kameh Rav. So Reb Lazar was all shaken up by this. So he went to Rav, Amar Leis, Hadvei Mar Mishmaitei. He said, well, you changed your psak and you didn't tell me. You always passed Nat Barnat's going to be a problem. And now Shmuel reports that you ate Nat Barnat. So Amar Lei, Chasle Luzari, Daba Barabba, the list for the meat, the Losfirli. He says, God forbid, Shmuel would never feed me Nat Barnat. He knows what I think about Nat Barnat. It never happened. Never. The story he told you that he fed me Nat Barnat, it just didn't happen. I would never eat such a thing. I didn't change my psak. So the Achronim wonder, what in the world is going on over here? Shmuel was lying to Rabbi Elazar in order to get him to eat something that Rabbi Elazar himself holds as aser. That's a little hard to say. Rav says lo yidvar me'olam. Shmuel says it did happen. So one of them is lying, right? That's how it sounds. One of them is not telling the truth. And if Shmuel is telling the truth that he had given it to Rav and he had eaten it, how could Shmuel serve it to Rav? Meaning, let's say Shmuel's telling the truth, maybe Rav wasn't aware. Well, okay, well, how could Shmuel do that? How could you give him something that he holds that is that's asur? So the Ritva writes that which Shmuel says, that I gave it to Rav and he ate it, he's only saying it derech guzma. He's trying to trick Rav Lazar, but he doesn't really mean it. It's a joke, you know. Even your Rebbe would eat it, but he didn't really, Shmuel didn't really mean it. Then the Ritva quotes in the name of his own Rebbe that which he says, I gave it to your Rebbe, doesn't mean I gave it to Rav. It means there are other people who are greater Talmidei Chacham than you, Shmuel was telling Rav Lazar, who I gave it to, who would rely on my psak. So I'm not saying Rav necessarily. Rav Lazar misunderstood. Rav Lazar thought that it must be talking about Rav. In Dvar Avram Chel Gimel Simchav Gimel writes that it has to be that which Shmuel said, that he gave it to Rav, he didn't mean that he actually gave it to Rav. He means that if I would have, then Rav would have eaten it. That Shmuel was under the impression that Rav would be moded to him at the end of the day about not for not, and Shmuel was simply mistaken about that. Rav, as it turns out, was not moded to him about not for not. You got to come up with something, some sort of, it's a very strange maisa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Huna v'Rav Chiya Barashi, havayashi chad b'hai gisa d'mavra d'suru v'chad b'hai gisa d'mavra. They were both on two different sides of the passageway over the river of Sura. Lamar actually they dug him shalu b'kar v'achol b'kutach. One of them they brought fish that was cooked in a fleshig dish and he ate it b'kutach. It's a question. Are you allowed to cook fish in a fleshig aside from basa b'cholav issues? Are you allowed to cook fish in a fleshig pot? What about the issues of sakana? That we're makpid not to have fish and flesh together. A lot of women have their fish pot, that they only cook fish in the fish pot. Sounds from the Gemara that it wasn't that it's not really an issue. The issue is not with the fish in the fleshig pot. The issue is if that fish is then going to be mixed with milchiks. That's where it's going to be an issue. So the mar aisule ta'enim va'anavim. And the other one had a totally different halachic issue. They brought him figs and grapes. B'toch hasuda, middle of a meal, va'achal v'lo baruch, and he ate the figs and the grapes, and he didn't make a bracha on the separate bracha on the fruit. So maram le'chavre yasma avid rabchachi. So each one insults the other one. One of them says to the other one, "You moron!" Yasma Rashi says below das doesn't mean a yasam from parents. You wouldn't call someone that's an issa daraisa if someone is a yasam to do on us to call them a name and draw their attention to the fact that they're a yasam. That would be a violation of several isurim daraisa. Over here, it's just a way of saying you moron, which is not nice, but not necessarily in Issa D'oraisa. This is below das. You person, you're a yasam from any das. Did your Rebbe do like this? Where did you learn to behave this way? Umaram le'lechavre, yasma, avid rabcha achi. Did your Rebbe do like this? Where did you learn to behave this way? Samaram le'lechavre, anok Shmuel, surely. So one of them said, well, I hold like Shmuel, not Parnat, is mutter. So it's not Parnat, it's totally mutter. Umaram le'lechavre, anok Rabbi Chiya, surely. And the one who had the Tainim and the Anavim and didn't make a bracha on them said, yeah, I didn't make a bracha because I held like Rabbi Chiya. The Tanya Rabbi Chiya, pas poteris kol mine machel, v'yayin poter kol mine mashkin. The halach is that bread exempts, if you wash on bread at the beginning of a meal, that exempts any type of food that you're going to eat during the meal. And if you make a bracha, bar per gofen at the beginning of a meal, that exempts any type of drinks that you're going to have during the meal. So everything's already included. So what's the other side? Why would you say that you should make a bracha? So the other side is that if it's dvarim that are not boi machmas asuda, if you look at Rashi, Tainim v'anavim, second to last line, lo asu l'liftan, they're not brought as part of a suuda that actually goes along with the pass. The kaimlun dvarim abayim l'achar suuda, kolomar harigilim lava l'achar suuda. It's not about dessert. Any food that's a dessert food, like Tainim v'anavim, Tunin bracha ben nachrayim. They require a bracha, both a new bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. Afilu ivian b'sof chasuda, even if they're brought in the middle of the suda. Dikivan te'inan lifton, ina paspotartan, because since they're not considered lifton, they're not considered something that goes along as part of the suda, they are not exempted by the pas. So that's the other side. But anyway, okay, says the Gemara Vayter, three lines from the bottom. Amr chiski mishum abaye. Hilchasa, bottom line, not by not. What are we paskin? Dogim sha'alu b'ka'ara, mutter la'ochlan b'kutach. If you have fish cooked in a fleshig or put on a fleshig pot, put on a fleshig plate, hot on a fleshig plate. It's interesting, the Gemara never says cooked. It never says that it's cooked in a fleshig pot. There are actually some Rishonim that say we wouldn't apply the heterim of not bar not when it's actually cooked in a fleshig pot. We don't pass it that way, but there are some Rishonim that hold that way. So it always gives the example of sha'alu b'ka'ara. So anyway, if you have fish that was put in a fleshig pot, very hot, you're allowed to eat it together with kutach. Basically, not barnata etera. We are makel. That is the halacha that the Gemara paskins, which is interesting because it's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Normally, hilchsa karav b'isuri, hilchsa k'shmuel b'dini. This is very much a case of isur v'heter, and yet we're paskin like Shmuel. Not barnata etera is okay. Another halacha. Let's say you have a knife with which you cut meat, and then you cut a radish with that knife. As we mentioned yesterday, all kitchen problems, or most kitchen problems, are only real problems when you bring a davar charif into the picture. Otherwise, you always have nosin tam lufgam, and not pranat etera. You have all the eterim. As soon as you bring a davar charif into the picture, all the eterim go out the window. So what happens? You have a radish that you cut with a fleshig knife. Asala ochla b'kutach. That radish may not be eaten, even b'di'eved, with milchig. So if you chopped an onion with a fleshig knife, and then you put the onion into your cheese omelet, that cheese omelet is aser, right? That's davar charif. V'hani militznon, but that's only when we're dealing with a radish, da'agav chorfe bala. Because of its charifus, it's balea from the knife. Aval kishus, garir lebe paske v'achil. But if it was just something soft like squash, something or rather not sharp, not charif like squash, you would just be able to peel off the surface, just scrape off the very surface of the area where the knife cut, and that would be good enough. And the only reason you even need to peel off the surface, scrape off the surface, is because the assumption that the knife isn't perfectly clean, so there's a little shamnunis of basar that gets onto the area that you cut. But if the knife was perfectly clean, then you wouldn't even need to do that. If it's cold, you take a cold fleshig knife and you cut something that's a cold vegetable, so it's not a davar charif, it wouldn't be a problem. Kilche de lift a shari. If you cut turnip stalks, that's going to be mutter, because Rashi says, lefes eno charif, ela matok. It's not charif, it's sweet. So the time of the shuman is not going to be nicker in it. Meaning the chiddush of that is that you don't even need to scrape off the surface, because the time of the basar that's on the surface of the knife is not going to be nicker, because the sweetness of the turnips is so overwhelming, it's going to overwhelm whatever minor time of basar would have been there. The silka asiri. If you cut beets, it's going to be aser. The pasuk bu delifta shapir dami. But if you keep switching off from beets to turnips and beets to turnips back and forth with the knife, then it's going to be okay. Then it's going to be mutter. So what are we assuming about a knife over here? So Rashi says two ideas. He fuses them together, but they're really two distinct ideas. Two explanations of why it is that a radish that's cut with a knife is aser to eat with kutach. Number one, Rashi says, because, as I've been mentioning, the shamnunis of the basar that's on the knife. The assumption is that the knife is not perfectly clean. There's a little bit of meat fat on the knife, and that meat fat is going to go end up on the food, on the radish, or in the radish that you cut. The second explanation, Rashi says, is forget about shamnunis basar. Even if the knife is perfectly clean, but the charifus of the radish causes it to be balea more or just as much as hot food. And the dochak of the sakin, together, the pressure that the knife puts down on the davar charif, together with the charifus of that which the sakin is cutting, allows the davar charif to absorb tam cold from a knife. So by davar charif, you have to throw everything out the window. You don't. First of all, we assume that there's no dinim nosin tam lefgam by davar charif. That's not our sugya, but that's just take that for granted. That's also true la halacha. We assume that even if it's more than 24 hours since its last use, it's still a tam leshvach by a davar charif. So you could throw that heter out the window. We learn over here everything is a tam rishon on a davar charif. That the radish is going to be usher to eat, right? That's what our gemara says. That radish is going to be usher to eat with milchigs. Everything becomes a tam rishon on a davar charif. You don't say, oh, it's naparnat. So naparnat goes out the window. The other heter, that tam can only transfer with heat, and without heat, you can't transfer tam unless you have melicha or resicha, melicha or kvisha. That doesn't apply by a davar charif either. Duchka de sakina, pressure of a knife, together with the charifus of that which you're cutting, and the tam is able to transfer. So that is machlok Rishonim, how far the tam transfers, but the tam is able to transfer. So that's why in catering places they're very makbid that a lot of the bartenders in catering places, they don't want to hack around looking for a knife to cut the lemons with, so sometimes they'll bring a knife from home that they'll use to cut the lemon. So mashkichim have to be very on top of that, because that's the lemon is a davar charif, even though it's cold. And it's just, but a lemon is a davar charif. If he has a tam of iser in that knife, so it's gonna all the heterim go out the window. Everything is out the window. So that's the concept of davar charif, very very critical in halacha. Okay, so let's see. That's the end of Naparnat. Now let's see the Gemara Vayter, fourth line on the Kuvir Beis Amaral. By Minei Rav Dimi Rav Nachman, Mala Anuche Kada De Malcha Gabe Kada De Kamcha. Can you keep right next to each other a jar of salt and a jar of kutach? Kamcha, we're assuming, means kutach, a milch dish. So Amalei Aser, he says it's Aser. What's the problem when you put one right next to the other? So Rashi says the problem is Cheshinan Shemi Yipol Menakutach B'Melech V'Hulo Yadav Yimelch Menu Kederes Basar. We're afraid some kutach might drip into the salt. You're not going to realize that you always assume salt is parv, and therefore you can use salt to use on your meat, and you're going to unwittingly mix kutach into your meat. So that's aser. Says Tosfos in the medium-sized lines, wait a second, I'm not allowed to keep two things next to each other that might potentially be a problem if they mix together. So in my fridge, I need to have separate fleishik and milchik shelves in the fridge. Do we have such a hakpada? Anyone have such a hakpada? So says Tosos, ein lesser mitam zeh, lahaniach b'teva achas, kad shel basar etzel, kad shel chalav. Now, we don't have a problem keeping in the same cabinet or the same refrigerator milchik dishes and fleishik, milchik foods and fleishik foods. Dahasam nisar yafa shel yipol mizel zeh. Because you know you don't want milk to fall on your roast beef. That you're careful about. But people generally won't even think of a problem with kutach falling onto melach, because they're not thinking two steps in advance that then they're going to use that melach to use on the meat. Well, chala we'll see in a second. Let's see back in the Gemara. What if it's vinegar? Can you keep that near your kutach? Amalei Shari says, yeah, that's mutter to keep near your kutach. So now back in Tosos, Tosos says, yeah, why? V'chein dechala ki derech las ischom it's betach. Vinegar is more of a concern, because you could understand more of a concern than just keeping meat and milk next to each other, because you'd use vinegar in fleishig recipes. But yet the Gemara paskins by vinegar that it's mutter. So back in the Gemara, Maishno, why by vinegar is it mutter, by salt is it asir? So he says, I'll explain you the reason for the distinction if you measure out for me a core of salt. And then he explains it to him, even though presumably he did not measure him out a quart of salt. That was just an expression. My taima, hai ise isuri b'enei, v'ailese isuri b'enei. One has an isur b'en, one does not have an isur, one does not have an isur b'en. A kutach that falls into melech, you could see the kutach. It's very visible in the melech. And therefore it's not going to become batel. But when kutach falls into chometz, it just gets mixed in with the chometz and it becomes batel in the chometz, and therefore there's bittel isser anyway, so it's not going to be, or bittel heter in this case, and therefore it's not going to be a problem of subsequently mixing it with flesh. Fine. Hu bar goes with the nafal akadu de kamcha. There was a a bird, that raw bird that fell into a jar of kutach, of milchig dip. So Sharya Rav Chinna Bered Rav Mipashrunya. Rav Chinna Bered Rav Mipashrunya was matirid. He said it's going to be mutter even though the kutach presumably is maliach. It's salty and there was no heat over here. So the only way transference of time would happen is if it was maluach, or if it was kavush, or if it was davar charif. But in this case it was maluach, and he said nevertheless it's mutter. So wow, that guy, Rav Chinna Bered Rav Mipashrunya, so impressive. Who else could have come up with a heter for this besides for him? He holds, when do we say Maliach is Kroseach? That's only if it's so salted that it's inedible because of its salting. Why would you salt it to the point of inedibility? You want to preserve it. So it's a preservative, and then when you're ready to eat it, you wash off the salt. But that's the only time we're going to say Maliach Areyu Kroseach. Says Tosos, if you look at Tosos, Harav Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael Hitir Pamachas Gigis Mlea Basar Shinim Lecha Yafe Im Chatichas Nevela V'amr Delo Chashavenu Nechel Machnos Molcho Eli Im Kein Nimlach Kein Ibud. So Halacha L'maisa, one of the Balei Atosos, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, was matir when they had meat salted together with a piece of Nevela. He said, that's not really salted. It's only considered salted if it's salted to the point that you would salt a hide that you were tanning. That would be salted. Short of that, it's not considered really salted. What's fascinating about this Tosos, I mean, there are a few things, but one of the fascinating side elements of this Tosfos, look at the name of the Bala Tosfos. How many Rishonim do you ever find that have a double name, that have two names? All the Rishonim always have one name. There's this Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, comes up in a couple of places in Shas. There's one of the only Rishonim, there's in the Rush, there's a Rishon like that. There are very, very few Rishonim, never in Shas. I mean, in Shas, the only time you have it is like Abba Mari, or, you know, it's always the first name is Abba, which is really just a title, it's not really a name. So you always have, you very, very rarely have two names. That only came much later. And when you do find two names in Rishonim, the two names are usually related to each other. Like Yaakov Yisrael, it was the same biblical figure, was Yaakov and Yisrael. So very often the names were related to each other. Nowadays you have people with, to be a gabbai, you have to, to people to write out. It used to be on the ksuba, on the bottom of the ksuba, when you needed to sign, you have two names side by side, next to each other. Now there's no room for that. They have to be one below the other, because you need at least a full line for people's name. They have four names, the father's got four names, Harav HaGoyin, they have to, it takes lines just to write the name. Anyway, but that's an interesting makar. Says Gemara, Aval hay kutchare nechal machnos molcho. Kutach is not a problem of melicha because it's nechal machnos molcho. It's still edible. Vahani milichai, that's only if the chicken is raw. Aval tzli bay klipa, if the chicken would have been cooked that fell into the kutach, you would need to peel off the outer layer. Vyispe pili kule aser, and if it had ridges in the chicken, then the whole thing would be also. We would assume that the tam of the kutach would penetrate the chicken entirely. The mitvel betavlim kuliyasur, also if it was spiced, we would assume that that would soften up the chicken to the point where the kutach would have penetrated entirely. Amar of Nachman Rama Shmuel, kikar shechata chala basar asur la'achla. So Rav Nachman Rama Shmuel says that if you have a loaf of bread on which you cut meat, and therefore meat juice dripped down onto the bread. Now we're talking about basar that was never salted. Basar that was roasted, and therefore melicha never took the blood out of the basar. So it was roasted, but the assumption is that Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel thinks that there's still dam inside that basar, so say you're allowed to eat it while the dam is not poresh, while it's still in the basar. But once it's nifrash min habasar and it goes onto the loaf of bread, you're not allowed to eat that loaf of bread. Vahani mili da asmik. That's only if it was a reddened piece of meat from when the animal was still alive. Vahani mili da avre. That's also only if the blood goes through the entire bread from one end to the other. Vahani mili da asmeche. And that's also only if the blood that ends up on the bread is very thick. Aval klishasa leslamba. But if it's thin red juice, that doesn't count as blood. That's not going to be a problem. Shmuel shadile lekalbe. So when Shmuel had bread upon which roasted meat was cut, he would throw the bread to the dogs. Rafuna yavle l'shame. Rafuna just gave it to his shamish. So frak the Gemara. What? Manav shach ishari l'kuli alma shari yas.
asur kli amasur. What did Ravuna hold? It was asur for him and mutter for a shamash. How is he allowed to do that? So shiny Ravuna danina date. No, Ravuna didn't hold it was asur. He just found it gross. He couldn't bear. He didn't like rare meat. He always had to have it well done, and he just didn't like the idea of eating something red. So when the red went on the bread, he couldn't have such bread. He had to give it to a shamash, but he didn't hold it was asur. Rava achale v'kari lechamar basar. Rava ate it, and he said, oh, that red stuff coming out of the meat, that's not blood, that's meat wine. Or like Rabbi Willig used to always say, that's meat juice. You look at the red stuff coming out of the bread, you know, that's not blood, that's meat juice. Meat juice is mutter. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, ein manichin kli tachas basar, we discussed yesterday the idea of putting a kli where they would have underneath where it was roasting, where the fats and the juices would drip down into this kli. So you're not supposed to put the kli to catch the juices until the juices don't have a mara admimus, until they're not red anymore. Because so long as they're red, it's still blood that's coming down, and that's going to be asir. Minoya dinan. So how do you know at what stage you're allowed to put the kli underneath? Marzut mishmeid rav papa amar. Mishatala timrasa, as soon as it begins to smoke. What begins to smoke? So Rashi has two deos. Either the basar is mala ashan, or he says the gechalim are mala ashan. One or the other. That smoke starts to come up from it. At that point, you know that the blood has been exhausted from the meat, and now you can put the kli underneath to catch it. Like you have that, like with the shawarma things, the George Foreman grills have a little thing where it catches all the juice that comes down. Masgravashi vidilmataso mata ilo lomata. This is, but still, even if it's smoking, maybe it's only the bottom part of the meat that's really ready, and the top part is still bloody. So elam ravashi lesle takanta el mishbe tarti galali malcha. So now the only way to make it okay is by putting two big chunks of salt in it to draw the dam umeshafya, and then pour off the top layer of fat from that kli, and that top layer of fat is okay because the dam, like we mentioned yesterday, sinks to the bottom. The dam goes lower, and the salt will draw whatever dam might be near the top, and then you're able to scrape off the top. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika l'Rav Ashi umi amar Shmuel hachi v'amar Shmuel kikach shechatach ala basar asur liachla. Wait a second, does Shmuel say that after the mara admumis is gone from the meat, that all of a sudden it becomes mutter? Isn't Shmuel the one that just taught us that if you take a piece of roasted meat and you cut it over bread, and there's redness in the bread now, that the bread is asur? So how could it be the same guy? Shmuel says that at a certain point, you don't have to worry about it anymore. At a certain point during the roasting, it already loses all of its dam. You don't have to worry about any of the dam anymore. But Shmuel's the same guy that said that even after it's roasted, if you cut it on bread, the redness that's on the bread is going to be asur to eat. So says Gemara, Shaini Hasam da'agav duchka desakina palit. He didn't say if you put it on bread. He said if you slice it onto bread. When you cut a piece of roasted meat, there's assumed to be juices in the meat or blood in the meat that only comes out because of the pressure that the knife puts on the meat. And that's what draws out the dam. Amar Rav Nachman, dagim va'ofel shemalchun ze'im ze'a asurin. If you have fish and chicken that are salted together, they are asur. What does it mean, they are asur? Says, because again, it's malicha, we're assuming it's drawing out the dam. So one is, the dam of one is affecting the other. Well, we know dam of dagim is mutter. So what does it mean, they are asur? Only the fish are asur, because we assume that the dam of the oaf is drawn out of the oaf and gets absorbed into the dagim, but vice versa is not going to be a problem. Say, chidami, what's the case exactly? Ibe kli she'ena menukav, if it's in a kli that's not perforated, afilu ofos ofos nami asiri. Well, then it's just sitting there and its juices just sitting there in the dam. Even if you're moleach, various ofos together would be asir. Ibe kli menukav, if it's a kli that's perforated, that has holes at the bottom, afilu dagim ofos nami shari, then even fish and birds together and chicken together should be mutter, because all the dam is dripping right out. It's not going to go into the fish. So the olam b'kli menukav. No, we assume that it is a perforated kli. V'dagu mishum derafu karmayu kadmi upalti. Fish, because they have a very thin skin and very soft skin, we assume that they're polate, they expel their dam earlier. Va'ofos kmiti, and the birds have a much thicker and tighter skin. Basar denichi dagim pliti ofos v'hadar ba'ali minei. We assume that once the dagim are finished expelling their dam, the ofos then begin to expel their dam, and that dam is now able to go into the dagim, because there is this concept that so long as something is polate, it's not yet able to absorb, but the fish finished being polate way before the blood from the chicken is there, and therefore it's able to, in plenty of time, to absorb the blood from the chicken. Tosfos raises the question, if the dagim themselves are rasa, he says, shouldn't the lashon have been that dagim shemalchan im ofos asurin? Why does it say that if you're malchan ze im ze, they are asur? Makes it sound like the chicken is asur too. So says Tosfos, yeshomer dimkein avamashma afilu ofos tafel va'adagim aluchim. I would have thought that even if the birds weren't salted, only the fish was salted, it would be asur. So that's why Dafka uses such a lashon to tell me that no, it's Dafka if they're both salted, that it's going to be a problem. Then Tos says another chiddush that minira de ein ofos nesar me'adagim shenesar afilu la'oso pirusha b'kol yisurin armin chatichas menachs nevela. He says even if you say chanan over here, still you wouldn't say that the bird becomes usher from the fish. You don't say that once the fish becomes usher, now the whole fish is usher, and therefore it then gives tam back into the birds and usher's the birds. Tos says you wouldn't go that far in terms of the chanan. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Mitzvah will pick up from a couple of lines from the bottom tomorrow.